So I thought I would just do like one of my monologue videos now that we're heading to the end of summer and we're heading into autumn here in Britain, and I thought I would do a sort of state of play monologue because we've certainly had a few turbulent months in the West in general, and it also overlapped in Britain. But it's, you know, that meme goes around, various ideas that 2020 is so, say, especially bad, that there's something evil about 2020, there's so many things going wrong. I actually don't agree with that. I think this is just general decline, and that the reasons for whether it's the COVID virus or Black Lives Matter, cities burning, statues coming down, ramping up of the anti-white agenda. I don't think this is anything mystical. I think this is all part of... It exposes the flaws in how we live. And it seems to be getting worse and worse, of course. And there's a couple of things. So I thought, just to sort of switch the microphone on and have a bit of a ramble, you can put me on in the background. And I thought there's a few trends that I've noticed that have popped up. There's a few, what can we get from it? What's been going on over the last few months? What does it have to say? Has it revealed anything about the state of the situation in the West? And I thought I'd like to start right here in Britain with what happened with the BBC recently. And last night of the proms, which is this big patriotic event which the BBC hosted, and the BBC decided that they were going to turn woke and get rid of the national anthem, and there was a big hullabaloo in Britain. And as far as I'm aware, they're going to do it, but they're going to play the music. They're not actually going to... you're going to be able to sing it at home or something like that. Essentially, though, we all know what it is. They're purging patriotism from last night of the proms. And there was really quite the backlash from the centre-right, from the middle-class conservatives. Middle England in England just didn't seem to want to put up with this stuff anymore. And there was really quite the backlash. But what I think is interesting is that the BBC license, the way the BBC itself is under increasing scrutiny, and the BBC license fee, or the end of the BBC, is something that I've cheered on for years. Because I think it's important that people always dream in this, the running theme of what I'm going to get into here is what's called the culture war, which is a term that, you know, I'm not particularly fond of it, but I'm going to talk in swathes of the right and the left, and it'll do. But I think people dream of like final victories, but they don't want to sort of, and what gets passed over is smaller victories which lead to it. And so I always find that the right is always on the losing side of these things. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But one of them is because there's this like indifference to small victories. And I thought the BBC, getting rid of the BBC, is something which is actually doable. Because I think the BBC situation, now that it's gone woke and has this increasing backlash against it, is a untenable position, because and it's not so much, you know, you'll see like there's a website to ban the BBC and that kind of thing. I think that's a wrong way to go around it. I think what you have to do is look for the weakness of it, and then you go for the license fee, because it's immoral to force people to pay for a TV service and like the organisation, to force people to pay for it against their will, when it's now just purely ideologically driven. It's part of the liberal establishment. It's social justice, and it's blatantly anti-white. All of the dramas are replaced. They did all these costume dramas. All of that's being replaced now with their diversity in the casting. I never actually watch it. This is another thing. Like, people will say, "Well, I don't watch it. I don't care." The problem is the masses that do watch it, and so the BBC is under this increasing amount of pressure. And I think the last Night of the Proms thing was sort of the icing on the cake. And I think many people, these middle, because for a change, it was middle class England which was bearing the brunt of the woke agenda, whereas for years and years it's mainly been the working class who've been pounded by it. If you think of what went on somewhere like Rotherham, and which is a much, much more serious issue. But again, like, you can see that increasingly it looks like people have just had enough. And in the BBC, as a sort of a battle to be fought, it's one that's like winnable. If you look at the system, the cathedral, as the neo-reactionaries call it, it seems insurmountable. But what you then do is just gather all of your forces and attack it at its weakest point. And in the case of Britain, I think the BBC is one of the weakest links in the cultural fabric, which hates the native people. I think the idea of the license fee is untenable. I think you have a good moral case for scrapping the license fee and simply saying, if people want to subsidise it, if people want to pay for it, then that's fine. The BBC can still exist, but it's their choice. We shouldn't be forced to pay for it. And I think what will happen is that people will just stop paying for the license fee, and the BBC will die this, like, slow death, which would be great to see. It's an easy victory. But here we see again, like, I think the reason why the BBC has got itself into this position in the first place is because of this, which I think is a running theme, is this overreach by, let's just say, the left, by the progressive social justice left. It's overreach, and when it stretches into the middle classes, they turn, and they're going to look for ways. In this case, it's the BBC who's bearing the brunt, and they've already got that weakened position where they're reliant on the people they're attacking for funding. And I think it's ridiculous to I think I was watching the documentary about Napoleon, and I did my own video on this last year, I think, where how do you actually win battles when you're outnumbered? And it's a concentration of your firepower. It's a concentration on a enemy's weakness. And it seems to me that the BBC situation is a battle which can be won. And then once you've achieved that, it's good for morale as well. People enjoy to see that, and it spurs you on to think of what's next. But in the case of Britain, like, everybody on the right hates each other's guts. There's no real coordination. There's just endless infighting. So a simple thing like this doesn't actually happen. This shambolic state of the British right, it hasn't gone unnoticed, because now there's a company, there's two companies, one of them's called Liberty Global, and they've taken a look at the situation, especially regarding the BBC in Britain, and they're saying that firstly, it's not fair that people have to pay for this rubbish, but then beyond that, they're talking about setting up their own TV channel, which would be right-leaning. They say it's going to be, it's speaking these hard truths to the public. Now, on the one hand, and Fox News in America is going to be their model. That's what they want to emulate. Now, on the one hand, you can get your hopes up about something like that, but you have to think, well, what is it they're actually going to be doing? But firstly, I'd say, if you look at the cultural landscape in Britain, there is an opening there, because we've got nothing. I mean, I don't actually like Fox News very much, But I can at least see that it's something there for the for like white America, Republican kind of normie con voters. In Britain, we've got absolutely nothing, and I think this is being picked up on. And I think it's also a potential where it can be dangerous to have this like the bulk of the population really, where they've got no media whatsoever that actually speaks to them or airs their grievances. That's actually quite a dangerous situation for the system, because where are they going to go and get their opinions from? Is it that they're just going to lap it all up, all of the sort of social justice slop coming from the mainstream telly? Or is it that they're going to disconnect completely and start and look for things on the internet with things that haven't been banned yet? Well, what you can see is that there's a gap in the market here for, let's say, mildly populist talking points. How far will they go? Who's going to be on there? Will it be that we see somebody like Nigel Farage becoming like a sort of Tucker Carlson, where he'll have like a half hour slot to a few times a week, and he pontificates and rails against the system? I mean, in America, even people like the sort of white nationalist types, there's a lot of them like really, they're really quite happy with Tucker Carlson. So I'm not entirely negative, but I am thinking along the lines that it's going to be more sort of classic liberal gatekeeping gloop, and it's going to be just sort of endlessly moaning about identity politics and what the crazy SJW are doing now. Again, there's a huge market for that, and I can understand why, but it's not actually going to get to the root of the problems, and it's also going to reinforce the sort of neoliberal kind of commodification of everything. So, because that's actually what it is. I mean, even like the discontent and anger of the native population, it's a gap in the market that needs to be tapped into. It isn't that, well, these people need a voice, we need to elevate these people up and give their opinions. They're not doing anything of the sort. It's a gap in the market. It's something to be repackaged and put on TV. So even your anger about the current state of affairs is just a product to be marketed. Will it do any good? I don't know, but there's definitely a market for it, and it's unnatural that the bulk of the population in Britain don't actually have any kind of outlet whatsoever for their grievances. So we see a few things going on here, and I think the deciding factor in this particular case is that it's overreach in the case of the BBC and the woke stuff going after the proms. And then on top of that, there's even the chance that there's going to be this new channel, this new right-wing channel popping up on mainstream television. And I'd expect in it like to get some attention in its first stages. There'll be some controversial, quite edgy things come out just to get everybody's attention. But then, well, really, like what the worry is that we end up in this entrenched situation, like what we see in America. Now, I've been thinking about what's been going on in America, because things have got very bad. They're shooting each other on the streets. There's more and more talk of civil war. Now, in Britain, we're nowhere near that, and we don't have guns either. But it's also that there's because the right wing is such a disorganized crabs in a bucket mess. There isn't even any kind of thing to threaten them. There isn't even there's nothing. So there's nothing really for them to punch at. They're reduced to going after last night of the proms, for Christ's sake. But this, like I say, this leads to that overreach, which is looks like it's now going to get tapped into. In America, it's different, because if you thinking about it all, what stokes all of this up? Where does the fault lie? And you can go after the universities, and you can go after the social justice and anti-farm Black Lives Matter, but it seems to me the country is divided because of the mass media. The mass media has created two camps in America, and it's reached the stage where their visions of what America should be are completely incompatible, to the degree where there's no longer any common ground, because Antifa, social justice, Black Lives Matter, they want to completely overturn, and they're doing it as well, what America actually is. And then let's just say the sort of the right wing, the white Trump voting side is beginning to get more and more feeling as if they're on the chopping block. It's property being burned, businesses being burned out, people, which, you know, which it's, I think it's feeding more and more, where you do get the headlines of that little boy being shot in the head, and it wasn't like this media outrage. You've got that Karen meme. Like, I think white America are genuinely starting to feel the noose going around their necks, and I can understand why as well. And then on the other side of it, there just doesn't seem to be any halt to the burnings and the lootings. And as I say this now, some fella in Portland was just with a Trump hat, was just randomly shot dead on the streets. And so in a similar way, it's like this much more exaggerated version of what we saw in Britain with last night of the proms. It's like that, but driven to the extreme, where there's this genuine sense that this isn't going to stop. And if you look at how this happened, in my view, this is the media. Like, it seems to me that the mass media has divided this, because the media encourages outrage and the sheer amount of lies, and reporting some stories, amplifying some stories to this absurd degree. Think of like the George Floyd thing, and then like completely burying other stories, like the little boy who got shot in the head. So because of the lack of balance, the media on both sides, to be honest, feeds into this. It kind of exploits it and it profits from it. And this is why I'm actually a bit concerned about the... Firstly, I'd like to see the BBC knocked out of the game. But what's more than likely to happen is that it isn't, and it's gonna like limp on. But then on top of that, we're gonna get in Britain then our own version of Fox News. So then there's already this problem in Britain, which we've had since Brexit, and some people would say longer. But what that's gonna do is to make this divide and the possibility of having common ground almost impossible. If you're going to have a right-wing, a populist sort of right-wing TV channel in opposition to the BBC, so it would be the same situation in like what they have in America with, let's say, Fox News and CNN, even though, like, I think most of the media, the mass media, is dominated by left liberal stuff. Fox News is huge. So I think that's like the same situation. They didn't have an outlet either. They had like talk radio and that kind of thing, I think, in America. But the point here is that, let's just say that happens then, and I can understand it, because people in the comments or people watching this will think, well, yeah, but we've got, it's better than nothing. At the moment, we've got non-stop left liberal kind of bullshit narratives being forced down our throat, and they're bumping off the national anthem and all of this. So yeah, it's a terrible situation, and it's like the situation with the elections. So you try to do this protest vote, and it's the same with Trump in America, because now white America is becoming so terrified of the insanity that they're seeing, of cities being burned down, casually murdering people on the streets, and it, through ideology as well. It isn't just sort of criminality and like muggings. It's ideological. So there's no common ground. One side or the other has to be completely destroyed. Unfortunately, what the right has to rely on is useless. It's a bunch of shills. So this is what I see coming to Britain if there were this new TV channel. But again, people will shoot you down and they'll say, well, you know, it's better than nothing. Maybe it'll act as a kind of gateway rather than gatekeepers. But nevertheless, the two ideological camps are going to be then amplified, and this trouble, this turbulence is never going to end. And then because one side or the other I'll have to be completely destroyed. I don't see how that can stop. So it leads me to think as well, like, what are they actually going to do in America? Keith Woods pointed this out recently in a video where he said if Trump wins, there's going to be chaos because the left will just carry on. And then if Trump loses and Biden gets in, the liberal Democrat, the Democrats get in, then white America is going to feel the noose tightening around their neck even more because they're already saying it's going to go on. So one, like, there isn't any, even any possibility for any kind of common ground. And ever since the Black Lives Matter stuff started, I was irritated because these are very specific issues relating to America. And I was annoyed that when I saw it arrive in Britain, because it isn't actually our thing. It isn't actually our fight. Like, the police here aren't shooting black men on the in taking them into custody. That whole issue, however you look at it, that isn't an issue that we have to deal with. It wasn't part of the discourse, and we get more and more of this American stuff coming into Britain, which is kind of bollocksing up things for us. And the way I see it, that the fact that what could within a year or so, where we've got the mass media, and we've got like this replica where the BBC is CNN. And then whatever this new channel's coming along, it's going to be the Fox News. So the population, the camps will then become much more firmly entrenched, and I think it's a bad thing because the right wing that we're handed isn't capable of winning. It's this classic liberal group. So in the case of America, if I look ahead, well, what's the actual solution to it all? Like, what? How do you? Well, I think in the end, the people are going to just get sick and tired of it. The process itself is wearisome. Think about people who are just on Twitter, like night and day, trying to get the hottest take in, trying to score like a cheap little victory in this culture war. Just the endless news cycle of trying to twist it so that your side comes out on top. And at the end of the day, so yeah, it is the mass media, but it's also the democratic system. Is it healthy to live in this permanent state of ideological conflict? Has it always been there, where there's two camp mass camps? And so I think the only way the Americans, and probably later the British, the only way you can actually solve this is to scrap the democratic process entirely, and just have a strong man in, and to end just do away with it, because it's just going to go on and on until, well, in the case of until white Americans are what's the end game there, when they're in a minority, and it's happening, it's on the way to all of us. Well, like, where is this all going to go? Well, it's not, they're not telling you, but it's a pretty bleak place, to be honest. And this entrenchment, this endless kind of tit for tat bullshit is pretty depressing. Think about what people could be doing with all of the time that they invest in this stuff, you know? And that where the main, like, the main sort of news and cultural content is politicized. Everything, absolutely everything, is politicized. And just using America as a test case, I can see pretty soon people saying we've had enough and we just want it to end. We just want the violence to end because we just want all of this stress to end, this endless battle to end. So that's what I've seen c coming down the pipeline, actually. And I think you can see more and more. That's why I started this on just talking about Last Night of the Proms, because you can see that nobody's being left out anymore. Everything's politicized. Even Clive and Sue driving in the Volvo on the way down to Last Night of the Proms, they too have been dragged into this now. You know, the Middle England is now getting dragged into it and starting to ask questions about what the hell is going on. So whether or not, I mean, I know it's a big ask to say, well, let's scrap democracy. I mean, and then you get into the other thing, well, what would replace it, and how are you going to make sure it isn't the left replacing it? What happens if the that AOC and all of these lunatic social justice warriors in America, what happens if that becomes a dictatorship? Like, I get it, I get the problems with that. To be honest, I wouldn't want to be a white American with, what is it, Kamala Harris and all of these crackpots getting in. Or for Christ Almighty, what in Britain it would be like Ashley Carr, Prime Minister Ashley Carr, and the Labour Party, fruitcakes. Diane Abbott is in a permanent dictatorship, and the hell, I do get it. I do actually get it. But what I think, where we are, that's getting ahead of it, ahead of myself. But what I think we're getting into, in any rate, is a little bit optimistic, because it seems to me that the people have had enough of this. I think it's overreach. I think it's what we're seeing now is a classic case of overreach by the Looney Tune social justice left. That's and maybe I'll do another one of these for the at the end of the year or something like that. So just a bit of a just some rambling thoughts on the general situation. I'll catch you later, folks.